'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from the night before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The night before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus.
In the ring, you got rules. Outside, you got nothing. Life hits you with all these cheap shots. People like me, we live in the past. You got people that need you now. You got everything to lose. This guy's got nothing to lose.
I ain't got a choice.
That's the same thing your father said, and he died right here in my hands. Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
But you don't think I could beat him?
That is the trailer from the latest in the Rocky franchise called Creed 2. It has a strong theme of fatherhood, the familiar voice there of Sylvester Stallone, who invented the role of Rocky in 1976. Does this latest do the franchise justice? And what was it about that original movie, Rocky, that was so compelling? Joining us to review the movie Creed 2, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
We are talking about a movie that is in the famous Rocky franchise. What made that 1976 film, Rocky, the original, so not only so popular, but so well acclaimed?
Well, there's a bunch of things. One thing was is that you had Sylvester Stallone like all in on it, right? So he was acting in it, playing the part of Rocky, but also he had written it. So he had a lot invested in that, and that was his big breakthrough role. It garnered Academy Awards and stuff. And then you also had a really good director, John G. Alvinson. People might know him also. They might not associate these things together, but he also did the Karate Kid film, so which came out a little bit later. But reason I bring that up is that he's good at the underdog story, like the idea of somebody being mentored and brought along and being able to succeed. So people like to see the story of somebody being coming from nothing. It's kind of like a rags to riches, or from failure to victory, kind of a plot arc, like a character arc. So people love that kind of stuff. And of course, boxing too is a big, you know, had been a huge pastime, even more so in the past. Like nowadays, you know, UFC may have taken over some of the audience that would have been focused on boxing, but in 1976, that audience was pretty much all in on boxing.
And how well has the franchise aged?
These two films, Creed and now Creed 2, really breathe some new life into this. Like, along the way, the first three Rocky films, they kind of all kind of fit nicely together. Like, they kind of all go together. Rocky 4 was still really good, but that one was more propagandistic or jingoistic, kind of, I guess. Like, that's Cold War Rocky, like boxing with a Russian, and we'll talk about probably that connected to this film. Rocky 5, that John G. Alvinson comes back for Rocky 5, but that movie's not that great. And basically, after that, it seems like Rocky's kind of shelved. And then in 2006, Rocky came back again with this film, Rocky Balboa. And again, like that's Sylvester Stallone again. And at that time, he was doing a lot of movies like Rambo. He was coming back with the Rambo character. The Expendables were kind of underway for him. So he's an older guy, and he's still doing some of the action stuff. And that film is kind of your bridge between those first five movies and these two Creed movies, because that's the one where you see Rocky coming out of retirement, getting in the ring, even though he's too old, and people are saying, you know, you're too old, you shouldn't be doing this. And it has one of the greatest inspirational kind of speeches in it, which you wouldn't expect to have after the sixth movie into a franchise. You know, and that's the one where he says, you know, it's not about hitting the hardest. It's about how much you can take. As long as you can endure it, you know, if you have endurance, you can make it, kind of a thing. So that's kind of an interesting thing there. So that kind of bridges things, because by the time you get to Creed and now this Creed 2 film, he's more in the Burgess Meredith kind of, you know, Mickey, you know, in the corner, manager slash trainer kind of a character. So you see this Sylvester Stallone as Rocky aging gracefully. You know, he's had all of his glory along the way. He's had his ups and downs and problems and things, and he's going through grief, all of these kinds of things, the death of his wife Adrian, and, you know, estrangement with his son. All this stuff is kind of like in the character of Rocky, but now he has taken on Apollo Creed's illegitimate son Adonis, and he's the trainer for Apollo Creed's son. And Apollo Creed was a big part of the first four movies. And Rocky was, the character of Rocky was training him and managing him when he died in the ring. So lots of complexity to the story.
What is, you got into it just a little bit there, but what is the plot of Creed 2?
The plot of Creed 2 is that Adonis, now he's like taken on the Creed family name by the end of the first Creed film. And he's also now won the heavyweight championship. So he's got that title, he's got the belt, and Rocky has kind of helped him along the way to make that happen in the previous film. So now here he is, and now there's a contender that comes forward, and it happens to be the son of Ivan Drago, who was in Rocky IV, the Russian. So this Russian guy, played by Dolph Lundgren, his son Victor Drago, played by this Florin Mantuan, he's probably actually a boxer for all I know. I'm not a big follower of boxing in real life, but these guys come forward. So now it's like the son of Apollo Creed is the heavyweight champion, and the man who was boxing Apollo Creed when he died in the ring comes forward with his own son to challenge the championship, right, to the heavyweight championship. So Rocky, of course, feels guilt about his involvement, you know, and Apollo Creed dying in his arms, as it were. So that creates a little bit of tension. But the whole film then ends up being one where it's fathers and sons and fatherhood. And because the character of Adonis Creed, played by Michael B. Jordan, is engaged to be married, and they find out that they have a child on the way, and they have to make some decisions about that, because it was unexpected. And they, you know, so there's this thread of fatherhood and responsibility inside the ring, outside the ring, all kind of woven through the whole film in all of the key characters.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Creed 2. We'll return to that theme of fatherhood on the other side of the break. Pastor Geese taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. After our conversation with Pastor Geese, we'll be talking about a sex change ritual in the Church of England with Bishop Keith Ackerman, former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese in Quincy, Illinois.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are reviewing the movie Creed 2. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, before the break, you were talking about that theme of fatherhood, and I imagine that is a pretty strong bridge with the original Rocky, because that Burgess Meredith character was not only Rocky's trainer, but really the father figure of that film, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was father figure to Rocky. He kind of took Rocky under his wing, and you have that in this too. So the character of Rocky now gets to be that kind of guy. So he's the one that has the sage advice about life and about boxing, and he's there for Adonis Creed in the way that Mickey was there for Rocky years ago. So that's you get to kind of the, I'll use air quotes, adopted father, kind of the father figure kind of thing is there. And then you have very literally have fathers and sons, because the son in Rocky II, Rocky has a little boy. Like, so that there's actually a pregnancy and a birth and all of that happens in that film. And then by the time you get to Rocky Balboa, that film from 2006, the son is kind of involved in his father's comeback. But when you get to these Creed films, Rocky is now estranged from his son. And he doesn't even know his own grandson, who he wasn't there for the birth of the grandson. So there's a father, like a father figure kind of a role for Rocky with Adonis Creed, you know, his friend's son, Apollo Creed's son. But then there's a literal fatherhood storyline for Rocky in this film as well. Plus you have Drago and his son, and you've got then the character of Adonis with his fiance and their child.
Is it boxing heavy? Is it a movie about a big fight that has some fairly decent character development, or is it mostly a movie that just uses boxing as a plot element?
Okay, so the Creed film, the previous one to this, the first one, had really two big boxing scenes in it. And one was really a kind of a clever one where it seemed like there was no cuts. So it was just like the camera was just following this in real time as it was happening. There was probably some clever, you know, editing in there, but it was very smooth. So that was a really kind of exciting, interesting fight. And then they had a big, huge fight at the end. So really pretty much just two. I think there might have been three fights. This one, there's more boxing in it than in the previous one. And that's understandable, right? But really, both of these films, really, they shine because of the character development and the story that's being told. That's the main, more important thing. If you didn't care about the characters when they step into the ring, then you're not going to care how the fight goes. And that's what they bank on in these films. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of character development. Now, to catch up with things, my wife and I watched Creed at home, and then we went to the theater and saw Creed 2. But my wife was kind of happier with Creed, the first film, because it was at home, the screen was smaller, you know, there was a little bit less boxing in it, but she liked the characters, right? And then we got to the theater, more boxing, bigger screen, kind of more up in your face, and she was like, it's a little too much. There were times where I wasn't really watching very closely. And I even remember my mother and my aunts went to see the original Rocky movie in the theater and ended up in the front row or something, and it was just gigantic up there in front of them. I remember them telling the story about that, and it was just like way too much back then. So I think that there are people who are going to like to see a little more boxing, and there are people who are going to be more interested in the characters. But the good news is you get lots of good character development and story arcs for characters in there.
Does it revive this magic that the first one had of a guy who was fighting all the odds, who was almost Rocky against the world kind of a thing?
Yeah, that's what they're going for with the first one, like, and this one a little bit too. Like, the first one was that he's the illegitimate son. So Adonis is a son born in adultery. And then there's this kind of thing that happens in the first film, the first Creed film, where his dad's actual wife, played by Felicia Rashad, takes him in. So you kind of have a little bit of a, you know, adoption story going on there. Takes him in from being a kid that's in the foster system and is like just a bruiser fighting and, you know, just, you know, not having a good life because the actual mother he had died and his father, of course, had died and he was really not, he didn't have much. So, and he wanted to get a name for himself, not based on who his dad was. Because as a kid, he gets told who his dad is when his dad's actual wife takes him in. And that's part of it. So he kind of, it's about reputation and getting your mind around. There's also a fatherhood-son story about him and his dead father that kind of runs through all of it as well. And he's, again, there's this kind of story of sometimes mostly your biggest opponent in the ring is you. Like, the other guy's just in the way. And they work on that through the whole thing. He is kind of fighting his way. Now, is it as good as, like, way back with the first Rocky film, the first couple of Rocky films? It's hard to recapture that. But they do a very good job, and they do a good job doing it where it's not... It respects the past, it honors the past, but it brings something new to it. And the kind of clever thing that they do is, like Adonis Creed, the Creed family takes the lead role now. That's why it's called Creed and not Rocky, even though it's part of the same franchise. So Apollo Creed was the most important character next to Rocky. So he's like he's almost like the protagonist, but he's just next to the protagonist, second most important character. So then when you get to these Creed 2 films, these Creed movies, all of a sudden it flips. So the Creed family, Adonis Creed's the most important character, and Rocky is the second most important character. And that's kind of a clever, good way to do it, and it brings some extra life into the whole story.
Sylvester Stallone is one of those guys who, whether it's deserved or not, and he must be given his props for having written that first film, because, and he has been given his props, but he's one of those actors, for whether deserved or not, who has become a caricature of either Rambo or of Rocky. Do they try to break with that at all? Do we get something more from Sylvester Stallone in this film?
Yeah, I mean, this is good. Like, this, like, Creed and Creed 2, this is really good stuff. Like, he's not a caricature. He's got, you know, he is aging gracefully. He knows what he can and can't do. It's more of a character actor kind of role in a way. But, I mean, like, Sylvester Stallone, he's done everything from Stop or My Mom Will Shoot with Estelle Getty, which is a crazy, silly movie, to stuff like Copland. I don't know if you remember that movie, Copland. That was one of the movies where he was in a more dramatic role, and it was from the 90s, and he was, you know, the local cop in a town where most of the cops from New York City lived. So his job was just to kind of look the other way, but he couldn't because there were some actual bad cops, and they needed to have an actual cop. And that movie was great, and he did an excellent acting job in this. And it reminded me more of that. Now, that was a number of years ago, but, you know, he has proven at different points along the way with the right script and the right kind of character that he can actually do a lot in terms of acting. And this is the great thing about this. It actually makes the earlier version of Rocky more interesting because you're seeing this kind of larger, full life of a character. And in that way, I think it's quite good.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Creed 2. When we come back, what kind of scriptural connections might a Christian viewer of this film make?
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
What does it mean to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? This great mystery is the thread that runs throughout the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Some articles celebrate the birth of Jesus. Others explore the theological mystery of human embodiment. Still others do both at once, providing a holiday feast of reflection on Christ's incarnation. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. We're reviewing the movie Creed 2 on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, what kind of scriptural connections might a Christian viewer make when they're watching this particular film?
Well, when you have such a focus on fatherhood, and I mean, it's a drama, so you have lots of dysfunctional relationships. So like I was saying, Rocky is estranged from his son, hasn't seen his grandson. Adonis Creed has to deal with his dead father, Apollo Creed, and his relationship to him. Plus, he has to deal with this child on the way. And then Drago with his own son, because after Rocky V, the character of Drago was cast aside by Russia and had to move to Ukraine. He lost his wife. She left him. He had this son that he had to raise, and he became a domineering kind of father, training his son to be a boxer so that he could kind of try to crawl his way back out of the gutter, as it were, into reputable society within Russian boxing. So you have these kinds of good and bad father figures and these complicated, dysfunctional father relationships. So as soon as you have anything to do with fatherhood, motherhood, now as a Christian coming to see a movie, you can go, okay, let's think about the fourth commandment. Let's look at this movie and think about how are people in the film, in this case, fathers with their sons, primarily Adonis's child that he has is a little girl, but how is that working? So on the one hand, you have the child's relationship to the father, honoring your father, obeying your father. But then also you can think of what St. Paul writes to the Colossians when he says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So you get this, what is the relationship like? Are these people succeeding in rising to the occasion to be good fathers? Are they failing at it? And each of these central characters, they get moments where they really shine as good fathers. And that's kind of a really wonderful thing about this film. So sometimes they're failures at what they're doing, but the whole notion of wanting to do better. So the seeds of repentance are all in there, and actually tackling fatherhood in a positive light. You get that in the film as well, which is really great. And then, of course, St. Paul talks about boxing. He uses that illustration at times, talking about the imperishable versus the perishable rewards that somebody might have in life. So the World Heavyweight Championship would be a perishable wreath, but an imperishable wreath would be like the crown of glory that we would receive from Christ on the last day because of our faithfulness and because of the gift of justification and salvation we received through him. So you get a little bit of, 2 Timothy, where he talks about fighting the good fight. You could think of that, those kind of passages from Paul, also from 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about self-control and the perishable wreath versus the imperishable as well, running the race kind of stuff. So you can bring all of that stuff. So you can think when you're approaching something like this, it's not overtly Christian, but you can look at it and go, as a Christian, what can I think about? This is about fatherhood, fourth commandment. Let's think about the fourth commandment. you know, this is about boxing. What does scripture ever, does scripture ever talk about boxing? How might it apply to this? So that's what you can do as a Christian as you sit down to watch a film like this.
Speaking of the boxing angle, then, we talked about whether or not it's kind of boxing heavy or, you know, essentially a boxing movie or a movie that has boxing. But what would your pastoral concerns be about the violence? I mean, you are watching, at least for a segment of the movie, two grown men beat the snot out of each other.
It's true. Listen, you know, some people, like I was mentioning before, my wife felt like that was too much. So she would have preferred it on a smaller screen and not as intense as that. If somebody has a hard time with this stuff, if you wouldn't watch a boxing match, let's say, then you should be careful about going to see a film like this, right? The other thing that is that boxing is a sport with rules. You know, there are people who box clean, there are people who box dirty, there's a judge, you know, you have a referee. All of these things are part of the sport of boxing. And people can be involved in boxing. Nowadays, people are a little more concerned because, and not just in boxing, also in football and hockey, with damage that can happen to people's brains because of concussions that they might receive. So there are, you know, real risks with any kind of sport that has contact in it. And Christians should be careful about that, especially families with kids. Like, do I want to have my kid in sports that have contact like this in it? These are things people need to kind of weigh and consider. And the other thing too is, like, when I was mentioning before, the idea that you are your biggest opponent in the ring, there's a question of, why am I fighting? So is the question in here is, am I fighting this Drago's son, you know, out of revenge, out of trying to take vengeance in my own hands, or do I have other reasons to fight? And like the Christian watching something like this, why are you getting the ring? Are you getting the ring because you want to harm people? Because if you're doing that, then you're breaking the fifth commandment. If you want to take vengeance in your own hands, then you're breaking the fourth commandment. You know, so if it's a sport and you have good sportsmanship, then you could probably be involved in boxing and be fine. But if you have, you know, challenges with some of those commandments particularly, you might want to stay clear of boxing.
Any other pastoral concerns to mention here at the end in Creed 2?
This would be a good movie for fathers and sons to see. But again, remember, you know, like little tiny kids, it's going to be way too much for them, right? So that would not be suggested. I mean, it is rated, the MPAA rating is PG-13. And it says for sports, action, violence, language, and a scene of sensuality. So there's no nudity. You know, there's some language, not too much. But I think that there are a lot of good things that could be gained from, you know, older, you know, kids or even adult kids with their fathers, like going to see it. I think that could be, because of the focus on it and because these fathers actually are portrayed in a quite a positive light, more so than you find in other films and TV.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Creed 2 under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Joy Pullman joins us on the other side. She's written recently about the cost and support for women's federal paid leave. We'll find out how those two are related right after this. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 10 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2018, we're $77,000 short of projected expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the Synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards, emmanuelpress.us.